Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, let light and love and power restore the plan on Earth. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The one thing humanity needs today is the realization that there is a plan, which is definitely working out through all world happenings. To the spiritual hierarchy, the plan involves those arrangements or circumstances which will raise and expand the consciousness of humanity and enable them to discover the spiritual values for themselves and to make the needed changes of their own free will. The idea of restoration sounds as if the plan was once on track. What happened? Has it been derailed?
I suppose in a sense it's been derailed, yes. But I don't think we quite know why. It's a belief or a suspicion or a hunch that I think runs through many different world cultures and has been there for eons of time, that that you see in the mythologies and the spiritual traditions of so many different cultures, a sense that there was a blessed period of greater alignment with the will of God sometime deep in their past, and that they and all humanity have lost their way. I think that's a fairly common human intuition. The idea of Shangri-La is predicated on that, and of Shambhala, and of various, or the Garden of Eden is another example from the Bible, that there was a time of perfection and of peace and of harmony that prevailed on earth among people. And somehow it disappeared, and that's where the whole sense of sin and error enters in, but without any real understanding of exactly what went wrong.
Well, I think the according to the ageless wisdom teachings that we've studied, it got off track way back in Atlantean times, in the days of Atlantis. And at that time, the human development was not like it is today. The emphasis was more on the emotional, developing the emotional nature and the astral nature, as it's called. And everything was going along fine, I guess, until the time the, what they call the dark forces, the dark brotherhood, began to take more control. And they got the upper hand, I believe, and they began to control the direction of human evolution at the time, which was directing it more towards the material level.
And they worked with desire, didn't they?
Desire, because, yeah, and It was directing desire downward more towards the material. And this was going contrary to the direction of God's plan. So, as I understand it, the whole experiment of Atlantis was terminated by the spiritual hierarchy, by the powers that be. It was better to terminate it than let it go the way it was.
And the legend says that it terminated with the Great Flood. And that's another belief that runs throughout many different cultures, that there was a kind of a, I don't know what the word would be, cleansing or a purgative process, a natural process that sort of wiped the slate clean. And the idea of the flood is apropos because water is the symbol of the emotional plane, and human desire had derailed the plan.
Right, and ever since that time, humanity has kind of been on its own, in its own
bumbling along.
And right, and the hierarchy kind of stepped back and let human nature take its course and develop on its own. And so it now we are at a point where we can take ourselves in hand and begin to discriminate more more directly. Mm-hmm. About right and wrong, which way one should go, and the plan is now sort of back on track, and that's really behind all the chaos in the past 100 years or so. That's all the happenings in the world.
Well, when you say we can distinguish or discriminate between right and wrong, I think we should point out we're not talking about the comparatively petty sins that make the pages of the gossip magazines. We're talking about distinguishing spiritual values from material values and ideals that are inclusive of the common good as opposed to those governing principles that serve selfishness and self-interest. There's an interesting passage in one of the books of Alice Bailey that describes the plan in three different specific guidelines. She says that the immediate objectives of the plan are to raise the level of human consciousness, for one. And our opening thought said that the plan involves the hierarchy's intention to raise and expand the consciousness of humanity. What do we mean by that? We're not talking about raising the intellectual or IQ level of humanity. That's not enough. It's good, and to have a literate human society is certainly important, but that's not what raising the consciousness really means. To me, it means evoking a sense or a sensitivity or an awareness or responsiveness in human beings that enables them to register and respond to the inner subjective spiritual realms of life and not be only totally engrossed in the physical or material level. That would be the raising the level of human consciousness. And a second objective is the clarifying of the international situation. That's interesting because I think that's what we're in the midst of right now.
Oh, yes, and we have been for many decades, I think, ever since the beginning of the 20th century. And, you know, the World War I and II and all the little wars that have happened since then have been kind of the working out of the, actually, it's the destroying the old methods, the old attitudes that were imprisoning the consciousness of humanity at that time, back in the Victorian era.
Well, the old empires that governed so much of the world.
And all of this has now changed tremendously, and there is new energies coming in, and new organizations, new organizing in the world. The United Nations is an expression of this newness, and it's so many things are changing, and it's a result of this getting the plan back on track.
Well, she says that the clarifying of the international situation has to do with each nation taking responsibility for its own affairs. And I would say, as you point out, that after World War II, that came about with the ending of colonialization. But you can see now, with the war in Iraq and so on, that not every nation is enabled to work out its own affairs on its own. There are still powerful nations that intervene because they believe it serves self-interest, or they know what's best, or whatever. Another aspect of the international situation is for each nation not only to work out its own affairs, but to develop a right relationship with the whole, which is what the United Nations offers, that global forum for establishing a fair and balanced approach to international problems.
Right, and it's not only the UN, but it's all the many global agreements among nations at the time, the economic agreements, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. The law of the sea agreements. Mm-hmm. All of these are result of the globalization of consciousness, and that represents the expansion that we talk about, the expansion of our consciousness, at least at the purely material level, because I think that same impulse there is driving much of the expansion of the economic expansion in the world, and so it's there are these inner impulses that are keeping the plan progressing.
A third aspect of the plan that Alice Bailey touched on was the growth of the group idea, the overcoming of the extreme selfishness, which is, I think, an inevitable byproduct of evolution. As the human being awakens and develops, he becomes more anchored within his own consciousness, his own being. He has an awareness of being, and that can be quite self-focusing until one breaks through that self-contained focus and expands to an awareness of his identity with his group and ultimately with the one humanity. These are the three objectives of the plan. In other words, that means to me the three thrusts of God's plan for our world at this time. But working against these objectives is the parallel energy of the dark forces, which are those forces, those energies that work to disable people, to discourage them, to dishearten them, that provoke fear and separatism and hatred and selfishness.
Yes, all of those are just as
just as powerful.
Just as powerful today, and you know, it's an example of the reactionary forces in the mm-hmm. world. They're reacting to the inpouring of light.
It's probably inevitable, isn't
it? Yeah, because they kind of go hand in hand. It's mm-hmm. hard to have one without the other.
So. Mm-hmm. But people need to understand that there is that opposing reaction and fight it when they feel that disheartened hopelessness of what can I do, how can I make a difference. That's an effect of that disabling energy.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, let light and love and power restore the plan on Earth. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including information on today's topic, the plan. It's available for $19. The discount today comes in the form of free shipping and handling. If you'd like to take advantage of this offer, write a little notation, say that you heard about the offer on the program, Inner Sight. The title of the book is Ponder on This by Alice Bailey. So what you need to do is send a check or money order to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. We certainly appreciate your financial support because that's what keeps us on the air. We have to pay for these radio shows, and we certainly could not do it without your help. So thank you for your donations. They are tax deductible, by the way. If you'd like to continue making donations to keep us on the air so we can do these shows for you, send donations to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like to order books, cassette tapes, if you'd like to order a package of general information about Lucis Trust, you can certainly do so by giving us a call on our toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website. We have a website. It's www.lucistrust.org. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. Now we're back to our show. And
where were we?
Well, I just had a thought. You were mentioning, as you mentioned, the UN and how United Nations and how that's a modern-day instrument being used as a tool, as a catalyst towards redirecting people, humanity, back on the path. I just heard all the mental criticism out there. I just imagined all the mental criticism out there about, well, you know, how have they been effective? But I think that you had a discussion one time at one of your meetings that was interesting to me. I think it was you that brought it up, Sarah, and it was that there are so many wars that were potentially averted. Perhaps there was a lot of talking that went on.
Mm-hmm.
Nations, representatives of nations met on the UN, and people talked it out. And unfortunately, this is a society today that everything has to be measured.
Mm-hmm.
And no one can measure how many wars were diverted, but I bet a lot of them were just by talking it out at the UN.
How do you measure a negative?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's impossible. You'd think we would appreciate that forum for talk more, because this is certainly a garrulous society. People talk all the time and think that's productive. We hear them on their cell phones all the time. We have endless meetings. But when the UN talks, then it's a waste of time in the minds of people who don't appreciate it. But yes, a great deal gets solved by coming together, working out conflicts through discussion, through coming to understand the concerns of other nations and cultures. That's what it's all about, and it takes time. I remember visiting a conference room in the old League of Nations in Geneva, which is now the United Nations center in Geneva, and the guide said that in that room that we were standing in, discussions on the rights of the child, I believe it was, that resulted in the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which the United States, I think, has not signed yet. One of the few countries in the world that hasn't. But those discussions took place over, I think he said, 30 years. And that sounds like such a long time to us, but I suppose to the hierarchy and the plan, it's nothing. And it resulted in something very productive for the world's children. The plan works out through the impression on human minds. And I think that's what we see in something like the United Nations. Minds have to register God's intention. Why does he depend on us to work out his plan? We might think that's a mistake, but the very meaning of man means one who thinks. And the ageist wisdom seems to say that humanity is meant to be either the bottleneck or the mediator for the working out of the plan.
Well, we have to be the mediator.
Better than the bottleneck.
Well, sometimes we're both, I think. We're
a little of both.
Being squeezed, but yes, humanity is the great mediator between the lower kingdoms, the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms, and the spiritual kingdoms, the higher kingdoms, the kingdom of soul, and the other two kingdoms that are above. So, I mean, we stand in the middle of this, and we look above and help below,
mm-hmm.
and we are in a very unique but important place. And if we could realize that, then we could begin to see the whole evolutionary development of the planet in those terms. And I think that's important to... We need to realize that there is this plan at work, and it's not something that science sees as yet, but it's there if you can look behind the form life that is working out all of these spiritual impulses that are working through us and through nature.
So often I think people view the plan of God, if they think about the plan at all, but they view God's relationship to us as one who holds all the cards and who wields all the power, and we are hapless, helpless little marionettes. And when something goes awry, we wonder, why did he allow that to happen? And that, to me, suggests a view of divinity that sees humanity as utterly severed from God's consciousness and existence. If we are little marionettes and he's the puppeteer, then there's really no connection. There's no collaboration or cooperation. But the idea of the ageless wisdom is that God's plan works out through humanity, that we are meant to be agents, collaborators, cooperators, and we will accomplish that role through the mind, through our responsiveness to impression. We may not realize it, but divine energies are being impressed upon us all the time.
Right. And it's important, I think, to point out, because many people ask that question, why would God allow this to happen? If mm-hmm. this he wants us to work out in his way.
But when everything's going according to their preference, then he shouldn't intervene.
But the thing is, God gave humanity free will. And God will not interfere with man's free will. And so man blunders along, makes all kinds of mistakes, creates chaos. But these are problems we have created. We have to solve them. And that's the way we learn.
I don't think it's just tough love that God leaves it all up to man's free will, do you? I think it's that our promise is seen and known and recognized probably much more than we realize, our evolutionary promise, that we will wake up and get it.
Yes, and I think it can be seen because that great love that humanity is destined to demonstrate in the world is there. It's there in the soul of man. It's there in the soul of humanity. And this is what does come through in many times of crisis, and it's what has to come through automatically, eventually in the future.
It's a very interesting period that we live in now, because we're in a flux between an old age and a new, and the collision of energy patterns that are quite different, and yet they build upon each other. We've talked about this before, the outgoing conditioning ray, the sixth ray, which has fostered devotion and idealism in humanity, and has also developed in us a tendency to appreciate the abstract side of life. Those are our building blocks now, as the incoming new energy of the seventh ray begins to dominate, and that will bring about the fusion of spirit and matter, so that the organizations, the organisms, the forms of every sort that we create on earth will more and more express divine intention. I'm not just talking about physical structures, but organizations, programs, policies,
Yes, all of the organizations that are going on, I think they're impulsed by this incoming seventh ray. It's a reorganization of human activity in the world.
To ground divinity on earth in outer visible form. And we're told that by the end of this new age, 2,000 years from now, this will be a reality, that divinity will be recognizable on earth. In the Alice Bailey writings, this is called the new materialism, where we will rebuild the shrine of man's living, as she puts it. And then matter and substance and their fusion into living forms will become expressive of divinity. She made a very interesting point about the attitude of the hierarchy, that they work through humanity on the physical plane to reveal the nature of reality. And the true and the beautiful will be manifested by humanity. The divine plan will eventually work out. And that energy will be transmitted in all the forms that man creates, so that the great law, as above, so below, will be fulfilled.
And we have to understand that this planet would not have been created by God without some plan in mind, in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what has been working out ever since the planet was created and ever since humanity began to walk upon the earth. And it's this ongoing plan, little by little, eon by eon, it unfolds, and it's the unfolding of the consciousness that is really the most important thing to realize today. Not so much in the form nature, because the forms follow what happens in the consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to look more towards the consciousness development of humanity, and then we'll begin to see really what's happening.
Please take advantage of today's special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey, including information on the plan, the subject of today's topic. A special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so it's available for $19. Just write a little note saying you heard about the offer on the program Inner Sight. So what you need to do is send a check or money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you need to contact us for any reason whatsoever, give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.